Hey there, it's Lars. Thanks for checking out the Lars Larson podcasting experience, and have a fantastic day.
Mueller, the special counsel in his investigation of Russia's interference in the 2016 election. President Trump's former campaign manager, Paul Manafort Jr., and his business partner, Rick Gates, have been indicted. You know what the Times doesn't bother to explain? We've had a special counsel investigating President Trump, who, as any Democrat around you can tell you, they know that Trump is guilty. They know that Trump conspired with Russia to throw the election. They know that millions of votes were changed. Well, maybe they know that. They think they know that, which is why we have a special counsel. So what do these charges have to do with whether or not Russia messed with the 2016 election?
In a drive-in theater for people who haven't seen them because there aren't too many in America anymore,
Donald Trump had anything to do with the Russians.
Next to each place that you would park a car.
In fact, what do they have to do with the year 2016?
You can lift into the car.
The answer is nothing, because
the
indictments concern things that Paul Manafort and his business partner allegedly did sometime between 2007 and 2013. So in other words, the indictments brought today, which folks are trying to say, this is all about the president being connected to Russian double dealing in the election. All of what was indicted today had to do with events that happened and ended 2 years before, almost 3 years, before the election was held. 3 years before the primaries were held. 3 years before the Republicans made the best decision they made in at least the last three election cycles. I mean, did you really think Romney was a great choice? Did you really think McCain was a great choice? But Donald Trump, that was a great choice. So you're going after Paul Manafort for things that he did years before he was a three-month part of the Trump campaign as the campaign manager. He was involved in the campaign for all of 3 months, but do you know what this does tell you? It tells you this, that Paul Manafort, who allegedly committed these crimes between 2007 and 2013,
$30.
By the way, you know who was head of the FBI during those years?
Release about
3 years ago. And Robert Mueller manages to miss these crimes that were allegedly committed by Paul Manafort. I have a feeling at the end of the day,
half the vote,
you're not going to hear a judge find Paul Manafort guilty.
Because
but boy, are they going to put on a show right now because they want
to
get Manafort
to roll over.
Why would he be up for parole now?
Why would they even consider a guy this dangerous?
They want to tell Manafort, you are going to go to jail unless you tell us some good dirt on Donald Trump. Now, does this seem like anything new for the Democrats? Of course not. Last week we found out. Remember, Kim Strassel from the Wall Street Journal. We found out last week that Hillary Clinton and the DNC had spent $12 million to have a former British secret agent write a dossier full of
fakery, full of fiction, that said that Donald Trump had done all kinds of things, like literally hire Russian prostitutes and have them urinate on a hotel bed. I mean, it was the craziest stuff you've ever heard. And yet,
and
he was a young guy. He was about 20 years old, wasn't he, back in 87? So here we are 30 years later.
At a cost of $12 million.
You know, from the pictures of him a couple of
years
ago at the parole hearing,
to spend $12 million
he cleans up pretty well.
A bunch of documents in the hopes that it could affect the outcome of an election.
He doesn't look like a lunatic necessarily.
Today,
but you're saying that inside of that guy is the man,
and then
who
be able to go to somebody like Paul Manafort and say, "You're going to prison,
brother-in-law,
unless
and
you
and
give
kill
us
for
some really
maybe
good
the amount of money you'd make on minimum wage on a full shift.
I'm going to lock you up." Anyway,
and,
welcome to the program. Glad to have you on board. Glad to take your phone calls and emails and the quick answer to the question I've been getting today. Did you get an elk this weekend? And the answer is no. That's why they call it elk hunting and not just elk shooting. Did I get a couple of shots? Yes. Did I manage to score an elk, a bull? I had a branch bull tag? No. But I had a great time with my friends Kenny and Rex and Ned and Roger.
I
had a great time.
And by the way, you
got more exercise in 1 weekend than I tend to get.
Got
one month,
an email address,
all the
information,
and got a chance
my
to see some beautiful
scenery.
And got a chance to see some beautiful elk.
It's just
say,
that
don't
I
release
didn't get
a chance
guy,
to bring one home with me.
Custody.
Oh, and we have a big development
of people,
week.
Dennis, who are very
you know
well
that we love to take this show on the road.
Bars,
well, we're taking it on the road this week, all right.
And there are real
consequences. We're going to be going to Washington, D.C.,
and on Thursday,
they get out of that kind of circumstance into the free world where they can do what they want.
It may be the first time they've ever done it at the White House.
You know, you could
there is going to be
rules and maybe
live broadcast
you
won't.
This program
a lot
from
of people
the East Room
behave very differently
on Thursday.
When they get in that kind of situation.
We
and
have never done that before.
For
I'm
folks
not
that
sure.
Might inspire to
based
write a letter.
Staff
yeah,
back here,
tell me if they've ever
prison.
Done it with other radio stations
like
before. I know that I've done the show from the driveway of the White House. We did that in January or February, about close to a dozen years ago. And it was a lot of fun, but it was awfully cold out there. They did provide some heat and some tents and that sort of thing. But we had a great time doing that. This Thursday, we will be at the White House in the East Room doing this program live to the Northwest, live to the country for the national show.
If you'd like to write a letter to the parole board,
a number of cabinet secretaries and others,
keep Kevin Roper
and his pal Scott Wickie behind bars,
then
you can do
that
live broadcast to the East Room,
family and probably
helping out society.
We just don't know.
I want to mention a story.
We'll just have to wait and see as to what they
told us.
Interesting.
You're going to have to wait and see.
Over the years, I've heard all kinds of stories when the fine.
We just can't say so.
Doing
right
something,
let's get started
less
with
consequence
today on this Monday.
Than the value of doing it.
That
a good
a
example
of
that would be
a lot of
I would
I'd
talk to people in the construction industry, and I'd say, "How would you get rid of all that construction debris? You know, the wood,
the
plywood, concrete,
presented
forms, things
by
like that?" And they said,
where
"We
guarantee to sell your house in 29 days or less."
How'd you get away with burning it? They said, "Well, we didn't always get away with it, but having a load of this hauled away was maybe $300-$500. If we burned it, even if we got the ticket was $200. So it was cheaper just to set fire to it and take the
special
consequence.
Counsel
consider
Robert
this.
Mueller should
there
quit.
Is the same
that's
kind of circumstance
the Trump
in the
DOJ
Seattle Metro.
Five
if you happen to live within
to
the
investigate
Sound Transit
Russia,
tree,
boy, what a badly named
elected.
Light rail
today,
system.
Today, Mueller brought
because
indictments
it's not
against
sound
Paul Manafort
at all
for crimes
but what
that
they
date
did
back
was they
a decade
got the voters
long before he spent those 3 or 4 months as Trump's election campaign manager.
We know that most of the fuel for the Putin Russia allegations
these
came from a dossier
on your license
full of
plate
wild
in
allegations,
state,
most of which have been shown to be false.
Every year.
Commissioned
well,
by the Democrat
this.
Party,
there are
and
now
Hillary
people
Clinton
for whom
herself.
The cost
we know
to
that
buy
the
real
new
Russia crimes
tab
where Hillary and Bill Clinton
is more
making millions of dollars
than just paying
conspiring
the
to transfer
for having
American uranium to a
Putin
car.
Controlled company in Russia.
Now,
so,
here's the way
the Hillary Putin Russia uranium story
the higher tax, which is based on the car's value, applies to tabs that expired after March 1st,
a decade ago,
an owner of a 2012
the front
Subaru
page.
Legacy.
And remember,
58,000 miles
the same
on
guy
would have to
pay FBI chief
7 years ago
buried the investigation
per year just
to
register that car.
Deal. Mueller
according
has a
to
hard
data provided by the state patrol,
and he
troopers
needs to
made 119,000 stops for expired registration or tabs last
ridiculous.
Year. Of those, they issued 10,000 tickets and 9,000 written warnings, which disappeared from the driver's record if they prove renewal before a specific deadline. But here's the problem.
Right now,
if you get pulled over
Or you can pay $308 to register your car properly.
All of it here in the Pacific Northwest. The latest numbers from just Washington State are positively criminal. Premiums are going up. The Seattle Times reporting that Moda's standard silver plan live on the Radio Northwest Network.
And this Thursday, live from the East Room of the White House, brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Find more at PFGWM.com.
Non-smoker.
You're listening to the Radio Northwest Network
a month
and the
Lars
Larson Show. Went to $839 a month this year. It will climb to $918 a month next year.
This is FM News 101.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. How stupid does a system have to be when the fine for violating the law is less expensive than actually complying with the bombshells from last week? These car tabs, the assassination files. That turns out to be right. I think the bigger story would be, my car, why are these files been kept from us for 50 years?
Car and
if
car,
the reason is not to embarrass somebody,
every
that's
year.
A really big problem.
And, the
and if they
tabs,
still keep
some
of them closed
after
50
years,
transit,
that's a problem.
District.
In over 50
the
years,
where they,
we and our enemies have figured out each other's methods of collection at least a several times.
To pay for
so if that is what
they
give us as a reason to keep the files closed,
that's a real problem.
Signed Mike,
$800 million
a mile.
Glad to get your phone calls and emails.
You
want to
jump into the best conversation in talk journalism?
It's right here.
For it through their
Radio Northwest Network.
So in some cases, people with rather modest automobiles.
Emails
like
go to
2012
SubaruLarsen.com.
Welcome back to the
Lars
Larson Show. Glad to be with you. And I told you a moment ago
because they're in sound transit.
I didn't get the bull elk I was out hunting this weekend. But I got a chance to spend some time with some great friends.
If you get caught
think about the great friends that we've lost in the last year. Pete's no longer with us.
Harry's no longer with us.
Doc Cook,
no
longer with us.
Welcome back to the
we're all hunting
on
with
them
very recently, but
Thank you, Lars,
this year they're not there, and they've passed on.
To make a point.
And so you think
know,
about
I'm,
those
I'm
things.
Your consummate
but
naysayer.
I just got
well,
confirmation
okay,
on a story.
But the problem
that
you
is
have
the only
remember
thing
is you got to engage in a conversation
good
about missing out on the six by that I thought I had my sights on Saturday.
Let's get to the point.
And I'll admit, I missed. That's okay. You know, it happens.
Trump
but about a year
it.
Ago,
yeah.
this, I told you this story.
And
it was
know,
in
Lars,
September. And here's what happened. A gentleman named Jeremy Nauta had emailed me.
It's interesting
and he said that he was asking for
ago,
some help
I came into
because
a call
his brother,
a little late, but you were talking
Josh,
about a completely different
that
gentleman who's calling
he,
saying he was frustrated.
He was dying.
That file,
he had got a diagnosis from the doctor.
And you went into
and
a rather
the doctor told him in September
almost,
of last year
for a second,
that he probably wasn't going to last more than, you know, another 6 or 8 months.
Does not just
and so
charges.
He got it in his mind,
the prosecutor
and it was an appropriate thing to do. He hadn't hunted
this
before, but he wanted to go hunting, and he wanted to take his little boy with him.
All through it.
So that he and his son could have that last experience
Lars,
of going out together on a hunt
is not
for a big branch bull elk.
But this is big. A big
and they had
deal.
Faith on it.
Well,
they
can you tell me this?
He's
they
not
talked to a
landowner
in the
who's willing to
donate a tag.
Manafort
committed
because,
these
crimes if
you
hunt,
he committed
the
game,
crimes
you've got
a decade
you
got to
have a tag,
so.
And it's a draw tag.
And then
in
he
many
was
cases,
Trump's,
bull
hold
tag,
up, and then he was Trump's campaign
where
manager
you only get
for 3 months
to that big bull
several years
if
after
you have
the last
the right
of the allegations,
2013, from the government.
So
it has to be for a particular unit,
but he's going to get to the bottom of it.
Area,
the bottom of
a particular
date range.
What have we found at this point?
You can go as an archery hunter.
Donald Trump colluded with the
Russians. But
to
those
sway
are
the election.
Again,
can
they're
you
specified
tell me
very,
any
very closely.
Little scrap
and
or scintilla
in
of evidence.
And I said, what's the problem?
You had
that
donated
money
tag from this landowner. He said, yeah,
well, Lars,
the Oregon
really
Department of Fish and Wildlife
yet.
Won't
we
do
aren't
it.
To the
they refused to make the transfer.
Are,
and I said, well,
is,
are they allowed to do the transfer? He said, they told us that we're
a
few days too late, that we missed the cutoff mark.
That is the
and I thought, well, can't
little,
they make an exception? I mean, I understand there's
something.
A reason for dates and limits and all that.
Evidence,
but
I
can't they
say,
make an exception for a man who just got word from his doctor that
he's
not going to live out the year?
Or
he's going to be dead.
They were trying to dig dirt on Hillary, but every
he's not going to get
him
next hunting season. He's going to be gone. And again, I don't know the Nautas from anybody, but I became acquainted with them because of this.
I know who I know about the
Papadopoulos and
Dyke
yesterday, and
I
know
the first thing
that.
One of the first things
problem,
I get is an email
tell me
from a gentleman
from your
who
knowledge.
Listens to the Northwest
what
show, but he listens from Montana.
When I watch Dianne Feinstein
and, he said, I wanted
and
to
other
let
top
you know
Democrats
Josh Nauta
who've been briefed on this
away,
because
they're
man
on
we
congressional
were
committees whose job it is to oversee, provide
oversight.
I called
the ODF and W
that
morning.
And you see people like
this
CNN
is the situation. They said, we're well aware of it, and we are not making an exception.
Between Russia and Donald Trump,
and they say, if somebody's willing to donate the tag,
this guy only has a few months left.
It's a couple of months
ago that it was
You're telling me
he could have transferred the tag if he'd come in a few days earlier.
What have you seen?
Because he was a couple of days late.
Because he doesn't
get
to do it,
at least
tell him try next year,
and he's going to be dead.
In other words, even with a local crime,
can't you make an exception?
And they said, no.
Tell me what it is.
So I did the only thing I can do.
And I know for a lot of you, you say, Lars, all you do is talk about stuff. You're right. All I do is talk about stuff. We talked about that story on the air. I got an email about 2 hours later after we talked about it on the air, and all of a sudden, miraculously,
he's taken
the
ODF and
with his actions
the Department of
in
Official
Ukraine,
life,
he's taken
mind.
Issues with his actions
and they said,
in Syria.
We're going to transfer the tag.
We've actually, subsequent to
some
that,
extent,
I got emails
I
from
the
family
the bombing
saying
that
they went
Syria
on the airfield,
airfield got
affected some Russian aircraft.
The
so
father
when you say
and son
he's
had
not
some great memories
to the Russian head and antlers,
that's just not backed up by the facts.
It's mounted on the wall.
I don't think we're following the same.
Well, we just got word that the man who made that extraordinary effort to try and get that last hunt in
well,
with his son.
I'm just saying
passed away.
I don't see anything.
And I wrote to his brother and I said, "Do you mind if I talk
here's
about
my other
this?"
Question.
He wrote back and he said, "To give you a little insight, this past
meeting,
week it's amazing."
Again,
Tanner,
the meeting
that's
in
the boy.
June,
with
the
Drew
one
and Trump Jr. And I think I'm saying that right. It's
also,
a unit,
yes,
Northeastern Oregon. Before
also,
we left, Joshua said to Tanner, "Go find me a 6-point bull and harvest him for me." Tanner being 16 and yet
about.
To fill a bull tag.
I bet I do.
The hunt cut
I
short
think
on
I can
Friday.
Tell you,
my wife
would you like
messaged
to know what
me and said, Josh,
and this I can take the mystery off.
Cancer.
I'm willing
I told
to bet
you
this is what it's about.
Was taking
no,
a turn
not
for the worse and was expected to live no more than 72 hours.
Fact.
When I told Jared the news, he said,
the
president's son-in-law
I can't go
owns a real
to
estate company,
that,
and they bought a piece of property
I want to make
a number of years
ago.
Stayed with a friend
father,
of mine Saturday night, the day before the season,
closed.
Tanner
a lot, I mean, it's worth
did
a lot of money,
that.
But they owe
a lot of money
family
on it.
Member
$1.2
who hadn't
million
been able to say
it.
Goodbye yet,
and
Sunday
they're trying
evening,
to find investors
made it back home.
To try and
I
finish
to pick
that project
up,
back to my parents'
because otherwise, in 18 months, that $1.2 billion comes due.
And he's either going to have to refinance
there,
it, or he's going to have to sell it, or he's going to have to redevelop
with his
it.
Brother, he asked
that's
that
a real
be there
problem.
By his
and
side
it's been written about
to
extensively
brother.
By the Atlantic and
this
a number
is from
of others
Nauta,
that have said
brother, Joshua
he's got
Nauta.
This real
Joshua
problem.
Had been unconscious for 35 hours.
Well, we once
hours.
Had a mayor in 30 Portland
seconds
that had
three mortgages and
goodbye.
He couldn't keep current on any of them.
His name was Sam Adams.
He had real financial problems,
and
whether or not
breath.
They're a political celebrity or not,
that's
you have to take care of paying your bills.
Just
so if he met with a banker, I have a feeling that's probably what it was about.
Was all right
but was it about trying to sway the election one direction or
of this
another?
Young man, Tanner,
I don't see any indication
of
that.
6-point
and I think the Russians want to mess with us every chance they get.
Anything
I think they want to mess with us
you feel
in favor of one candidate and against one
out.
Candidate.
I mean,
but
I'll
do I think that the Russians were conspiring to get Donald Trump elected when they had so much more in common
time.
With
and
Hillary?
I'll get those years
I mean, after
like
all,
this year where
Hillary Clinton
had
already
out,
put 20% of America's uranium reserves in the hands of the Russians. She had already indicated that she was capable of being bribed. If you paid her husband a few bucks
welcome
for
back
a
to
speech,
the Lars
Larson
show.
Do what
you
wanted to
do.
Be with you.
If
and
you
I'm
put
glad
some
to
money
get
in
your
foundation
phone calls and emails,
she'd
at
do what you wanted
Lars.
To do.
That's 866-439-5272.
Barack Obama
emails
tell
go to
Vladimir
talk
that I'll have more flexibility
well,
after the
week,
election.
We heard from
how
a nice young lady,
flexible
Kathy Lester,
do you need to be?
Who is a logistics
you have to believe
specialist.
Somebody
who's
else
been down in San Juan, Puerto Rico. She ordinarily makes her home.
You're listening to the Lars Larson
Washington.
She's down there trying to help
the Lars Larson show. Glad to
get
your phone
calls
and your emails
at 866. Hey,
Lars.
How are you?
That's 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk at LarsLarson.com.
I
just saw this little notice about Bo Bergdahl. Remember the Army deserter? Remember the creep that people went out and tried to find for weeks and weeks and weeks after he disappeared? And then he lived with the Taliban or the Al-Haqqani network for 5 years. And finally, Barack Obama traded 5 top-level terrorists to get his freedom. And we find out he's nothing more than a common deserter. Well, now he's issued an apology to those who were wounded while looking for him. This has been one of those unanswered questions for a long time.
Blade,
he gave an emotional statement at his own sentencing hearing. Well, no doubt.
everything.
Does he realize he's going from being in captivity
in
Afghanistan to being in captivity here in his home country? And I hope he goes away for a good long time. That guy deserves to be locked up. And the fact that he says he's sorry now, how about being sorry when you're missing of your own accord? You walked away from your own base by your choice, and people went out to look for you, and they knew already that you were likely gone because you chose to be gone, and that they were putting their lives at risk because you chose to be an idiot.
Okay,
to walk off and hang out with the terrorists. And as a result, some people were killed, some people were horribly wounded. And now he's sorry. Well, gee, cry me a river. Of course you're sorry. You're about to go to jail. Jim Ludwig joins me with Oregonians for Immigration Reform. Hey, Jim, welcome back to the program. How are you?
Thank you, Lars. I appreciate it very much. A very poignant story about Joshua and that.
Well, you know, I thought it was the right thing for them to do, and I was sorry to hear that the man had passed away, but he managed to go quite a bit longer than his doc thought he was going to. You're out doing some important work for Oregonians right now by trying to change the sanctuary status of this state. How goes the effort?
Well, it goes well, Lars. As your listeners know, Oregon's a self-described sanctuary state that will not allow local or state police to work with Immigration and Customs, even to the point where if ICE asked to be notified that if a county sheriff is going to release a criminal alien,
they, where it needs to go.
They won't do it.
So literally, they're stealing supplies, but they're doing it for the right reason, so that it actually makes it to the people who need it the most.
To overturn that, to get it on the November 2018 ballot.
This guy knew that.
It's available online now to sign a online signature sheet. And all
your listeners
have to do is to enter in
StopOregonSanctuaries.org.
It's in Word. And it'll bring up our website, and then you can click on that and bring it up to an online signature sheet where someone can print it out. It's only on one side and sign it, date it, put whatever they do on a normal initiative, and mail it in. The addresses live and on it. And if they want to go out and collect signatures, they can fill out a form to get some 10 wires.
We're confident that we're going to get it on the ballot in a way that people
just
can
like
understand.
Major 80 and the driver card
this is after 14 to 16
that we defeated
in 2014.
Yeah. We think we'll win. I mean, just by the feedback we've gotten from people who signed the initiative right now.
How many total signatures do you need?
A little over 88,000.
How many do you have? I think that's a great story.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you about another story, and you may or may not know anything about this, but it strikes me that
you know,
the Puerto Rican people
hit,
after this big disaster are very much at risk of being adversely affected by politics.
And does it go on in the fall?
Just pure, ugly politics. So,
well, then
this is hugely important because imagine the kind of scene you set
for people who are running for re-election
for quite a while.
When you have that.
I was driving back yesterday. I'm hearing
and,
about
voters
this story,
and
reporters, if they want to,
the storm
can hit Puerto Rico. There was a little company in Whitefish, Montana.
Yeah.
And the head of that company says he reached out through LinkedIn or one of these things and reached out to the Puerto Rican power authorities and said, hey, you're
going to
have this storm. You're going to have damage. Would you like to get a contractor lined up before the storm? And that would be this company from Whitefish. Well, it sounds like they gave him a $300 million contract. They've already billed
and
received $10 million of it. They've got another $10 million that I guess is going to be billed and 10 more behind that. But now, for some reason, they're canceling it. And it sounds like the reason is that the company happens to be in the hometown of Ryan Zinke, who's
you know, Jim,
I
filed
a
complaint against her. What Jim's talking about
doesn't sound like there's any indication that Zinke had anything to do with
the illegal
contract.
Been in her courtroom.
You know, for example, NBC reported that
he was illegally in the country,
and she also had come to find out that there were ICE agents standing in the hallway of the courthouse,
the small Montana company.
Now, you'd think if a judge was
hundreds of millions to help restore power,
the judge would say,
"I'm in favor of the law."
Failing to do the job.
Got about a law breaker.
In fact, all indications are they've been doing the job.
So is wanted
why
by
are they canceling this out
level of
and wanting to
agency,
start all over again?
The FBI or the Sheriff's Department or the Police Department or the State Police or the police from one state or another state? You'd think that judge would say, well, it's my job to make sure that person gets caught. Instead, she took it upon herself to help him avoid the ICE officers out in the hallway, and I filed a complaint against her after she did it, and the Judicial Fitness Board decided there was nothing wrong with a sitting judge helping a criminal avoid the law.
Well, I filed a complaint as well and got the same reports back that you did. But, Lars, think of this environment. Where is the safest place for a law enforcement officer to make an arrest?
At the courthouse.
Is it a controlled environment like a courthouse where a so-called perpetrator had been searched for a gun or knife or out in some back alley or on the street? I guarantee you this. If Monica Aransi's husband was an ICE agent or his son was an ICE agent or a daughter was an ICE agent, she would like that arrest to take place in the courthouse, not in some sleazy corner.
No, and you're right, because unless you manage to get past security at a courthouse, That courthouse is as knife-free and gun-free as it can be. So when law enforcement tries to take a suspect into custody in that kind of circumstance, where they know that the person has passed through a metal detector,
there isn't one of these stories that I've heard over this weekend or that I've read today that indicates this company has not been doing the job.
And I don't have a dog in the fight for both sides. And instead, the judge has apparently decided, no, I'm going to help this guy get away. And then, as you say, they may have to catch up with him in an alley.
And in the regards to the contracting of white fish energy,
and he might decide
and
in the interest of
he doesn't want to be taking
our public interest
and
have
hauled out of the
authority to invoke the cancellation clause. It sounds like the cancellation clause they have in this deal says that if Whitefish Energy gets canceled out of it, they still get paid the profits they would have made on the entire job unless they're canceled for cause. And it doesn't sound like, in fact, they've even said, the plan now is to let them finish the two major transmission lines. Get that power on. We need the power. And then get out of here.
A judge, or in this case, the sheriff, Mike Reese,
the people that
would
are going
ever
out,
allow a
again,
criminal
to go beyond the reach of the federal authority.
By the way, Jim, I have an opportunity coming up this week. You might have heard me mention it, that we're going to be broadcasting live from the east room of the White House,
that
is going to be brought to you by Price Financial
ground,
Group Wealth Management. Find out more at pfgwm.com. But the White House contacted us last week and said, we can't tell you everyone that you will be able to talk to, but we can tell you that you're likely to talk to some cabinet secretaries, and that we haven't had this kind of situation before where a live broadcast has been allowed from inside the White House of a talk radio show. And we know for a fact, it didn't happen during the Obama years for some pretty obvious reasons, because we might have been a little critical of him. But we're going to be doing that on Thursday, and depending on who I get to talk to, if it's appropriate, I'll be talking to a number of people. You know, we can't say exactly who we're going to get on Thursday, but I think we're likely to get some significant figures.
That's what it sounds like. Kathy, I've got to break away, but thank you so much. Kathy Lester is a logistics specialist down in San Juan, Puerto Rico. About
she makes her home in the Pacific Northwest,
are still going
and she's keeping an eye on things down there for us as well, and we appreciate it.
For their You're listening and to Lars Larson Show.
Well, I'll be listening with bated breath, of course, when you're back there.
This
what
is
I'm
the Lars Larson Show on FM News 101.
Hey, welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's Monday, and no, and I didn't get my branched bowl. I did have the tag, didn't fill it this weekend. My friend Ned did, who's a pilot up in the Seattle area. He did okay. He got his spike, and he did it very, very expertly from a long ways away.
Sounds very good. Long distance.
Jim, thanks for the work you do at Oregon and for immigration reform.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome to Monday.
About the man
that we tried to help out last fall, and I think we journalism. Do some good.
It's 866.
The complaint was that his doctor had given him a diagnosis that he was pretty grim, that he was going to be dead.
Honestly,
perhaps
provocative
in a few months,
talk radio
less than a year.
For the Pacific Northwest,
he passed
on the Radio
on
Northwest
evening.
Network,
and
but
the Lars Larson
Larson his brother
show.
Was trying to get state agency in charge of big game hunting in Oregon.
First time
the Oregon Department official wanted to transfer
first.
A tag.
This
and they flat refused. And when I called them, they refused.
Welcome back to the Lars
Larson
Show. Glad to get a phone call
late.
Or an email at 866-HEY-LARS.
You know,
that's 866-439-5777.
That's why
emails
he was late.
Go to talk at Lars
they
Larson.
They would have gone
to
the tag change
what
earlier
say,
so they could go get a branch
a letter.
And take
this
his son hunting.
Because Shama Sawan from the
when he Seattle finally passed
City Council
on,
is and such geez, a socialist.
His doctor waited too long to tell him that he only had a few months
that's
to live.
What she calls herself.
But Seattle
we got
firefighters, according to
King 5
well,
News,
Rich Thompson speaking out against
a large
proposal.
I was listening to your opening today in the story about Joshua. There was a homeless camp brought forward to the ODFW Commission
at the Prindle meeting earlier this month.
Firefighters Union President Kenny Stewart says,
I have no dog in the fight, kids are points, but I think it's a great idea.
You can read it in the attachment.
And assault
bummer about the
elk,
but it's a tradition
that our
traditional
East
a bow hunter
at these unauthorized encampments.
But a weekend away
day.
From all devices and spending
Stewart
time with good friends and some adult
to restrict
beverages,
the
not
city
all bad sign
from appropriately addressing
right in
the
this
unauthorized encampments
on
public
land. I hadn't
land
heard about it, but it says
a substantial hazard
use
for firefighters.
Some of the points,
in our opinion,
so that you
would
could
lead
to greater
medical
points
and fire
to
immediate
family members
and
our most vulnerable
residents
in the event
so
of the death
included
of the person
who holds
the points right now.
That would halt the camp cleanups.
Let's go to Jerry in Bellevue.
Hey Jerry, thanks for listening on Talk Radio 570. What's on your
encampment inhabitants? Well, doesn't that sound special?
Congratulations.
So far, there's no serious challenge to her plan, and the Fire Bureau says that it is going to put their firefighters at greater risk. To your calls now at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk@LarsLarson.com. Let's go first to RJ in Medford, listening on KMED. Hey, RJ, welcome to the Lars Larson Show.
You're going to see the same thing all the way through the next election cycle.
Afternoon, what's up?
But that they're not going to come up with anything from Medford, most likely, but they're going to imply that there was something
you're
there.
Very welcome. It was
and
my
you're going to hear about it
pleasure.
Throughout the entire election cycle
anyway,
affecting the votes of the people on this issue.
I'm guessing that you're exactly right. They'll try to do it, but how silly do you end up sounding when, after a year and a half, they found nothing that ties Donald Trump to Russia, but we find out that
don't they have to do it on the
battlefield
if you're going to execute somebody for desertion?
Hillary Clinton
battlefield
and Russia, going all the way back to 2009 and then 2013. So how is it that Robert Mueller can ignore the Uranium One deal that Hillary Clinton took part in, and she and her husband benefited to the tune of millions of dollars? But he still is preoccupied with finding
Obama
some kind of tie with Donald Trump. And his first indictment has to do with a guy named Manafort who wasn't tied to Trump until last summer for 3 months.
For him.
That's another thing, Lars. I hope that when you're up there in Washington, you get an opportunity to speak
with
someone.
I agree
with
you, but does it affect your vote today? In other words, when you go to vote next fall, will it affect your vote and decide whether or not you're going
to
vote for Democrat members of Congress or the legislature? Because those are the people who push those kinds of situations.
It
was President Obama who made
that
bad decision. I never thought him as a guy who would back down. He may have had a genteel manner.
Does it
he's from the South,
good.
But he was the kind of guy that I thought had a backbone of steel.
So
and yet, for the life of me, I cannot understand why he doesn't want to immediately say, well, I recuse myself from Trump and Russia, but I did not recuse myself
members of
from Hillary Clinton
have you voted
and Russia.
For Republicans
and
or Democrats or
Bill sold us out and sold out our uranium interests for millions of dollars. She needs to go to jail.
You know what my thought is?
I claim independent.
My thought is that he may feel like he's implicated in some of the illegal unmasking. They might have put something on him
that the Democratic
to let him know he better keep quiet.
Doing.
Well, we're really in trouble if we have major figures in our government who are acting the way they act because they're afraid of being indicted. That's crazy. Thank you for the call, by the way. Port Angeles and Tom. Hey, Tom, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind?
While you were talking to me, I looked this up because I wanted to refresh my memory.
Under the military code, the maximum penalty for desertion during a declared war is death.
Do you know we haven't had a declared war?
But you can't do it after the fact. By the way, the sentence was carried out one time since the Civil War, and it was Private Eddie Slovic, who went before a firing squad in World War II. The next highest punishment that's been given out is 5 years in prison.
I would love to have Dino on. I think he's a very competent guy. I think he actually won the first time against Christine Gregoire, and he was cheating
in the way
of the result, and we all know how the cheating happened. So I would love to see him as governor in Washington State, and we do need a strong candidate. And unfortunately, the last
Well, hey, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. By the way, our Twitter poll today, should Governor Kate Brown kill a $50 million bottled water plant? I think it's a terrible idea. Brought to you by Dan Jones Conveyor Trucks. You can find the question on Twitter at Lars Larson Show. And, of course, on our website at LarsLarson.com. Tom, you're a naysayer on Manafort.
I think you're absolutely right,
Tom. Thanks very much. I appreciate the suggestion. And Rob writes in, could the timing of the Manafort indictment be any more convenient?
Okay, because I want to hear your objection on Manafort. If Manafort's a guy who's broken
and
the law,
who also may have helped favor him being
Mueller
punished too,
doing
but I'm
the
not
boys
sure
a favor.
They're going
you're
after
listening
him because
to
of what he
Larson
did,
show.
Or because it's an avenue to get to Donald Trump, and that's what I'm going to ask you about on the other side. If you want to join the best conversation in talk journalism, it's right here. It's the Lars Larson Show, and this week's broadcast from the East Room of the White House, coming up this Thursday, brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Find out more at PFGWM.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
I know.
Lars. Real Red Meat Radio.
Should be played at high volume.
This is the Lars Larson Show. Broadcasting from Portland to Seattle and all of Oregon and Washington.
When enough people make false promises, words stop meaning anything.
This is honestly provocative talk with Lars Larson.
We meet at a time of both immense promise and great peril.
Now, here's Lars Larson.
Let's just swipe left on Lars Larson. Some dignity back in the White House.
On FM News 101.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Glad to be with you on this Monday. A little show note, on Thursday of this week, we'll be doing this show live from the East Room of the White House. And do we know who exactly we're going to be able to talk to? We're going to talk to some people at the White House. We're going to talk to some cabinet secretaries. Who knows who's going to be on our guest list? But it's brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Find out more at PFGWM.com. That's Price Financial Group Wealth Management is going to sponsor that trip so we can head back to Washington, D.C. and do the live broadcast on Thursday from the White House and then on Friday from the studios of the Heritage Foundation. On the phone with me right now is Dennis Dorn. Dennis, I want you to tell the story to my audience that you've told to me about your then brother-in-law, Bobby Gibbs, and how he was murdered.
I will be glad to do that. It happened about 30 years ago. The two people that murdered him was Kevin Roper and Scott Wickey. Kevin Roper's up for a parole hearing. It was a violent crime. It was never meant to be a robbery because Bobby knew where they lived. He would have stumbled home, got his brother and some cousins that lived down the street, and they were beat up. It was always going to be a murder, and it was a brutal murder. They hit him with it. They got him. Anyways, they got him. They hit him with it with a hatchet. Oh, numerous times in the head. That didn't work. They stabbed him anywhere from 10 to 20 times in the stomach. They tied him up to a speaker cable. They got him at an old drive-in theater on 112th.
Right. So in a drive-in theater, for people who haven't seen them, because there aren't too many in America anymore, there's a post next to each place that you would park a car. And on that post would be some wiring and a speaker that you could lift into the car so you could hear the audio for the movie and sit there in your car and watch the movie. It was a lot of fun to do. And they tied him to one of those speaker poles, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They tied him to the speaker pole and kicked him so hard that they basically broke his neck. And at one point during the assault, he tried to give him his wallet. But, you know, they had to finish what they started because they knew Bobby knew where they lived. And I'm not a psychiatrist, but, I've observed Kevin Roper enough in these hearings that Kevin can't control his impulses. When he was a young teenager, he had an impulse. He went down the hall to his little adopted sister and molested her. You know, she was probably looking up to Kevin to protect her and give her some love. You know. And a couple of years later, he needed money. He worked part-time at a fast food restaurant, minimum wage. You know, 30, 40 years ago, I worked at minimum wage jobs. And if you need extra money, just tell your supervisor, and you get extra shifts.
Yep.
But Kevin figured it's just easier to murder someone. I kind of figured it out. If he would have worked an eight-hour shift, that's probably about all the money he got from Bobby, about $30.
About $30. Now, he was up for release about 3 years ago in the summer of 2013,
And the parole board said, nah, we split. He got half the vote, but he didn't get enough to be released because some of the parole board members said you pose a threat to society. Why would he be up for parole now? Why would they even consider a guy this dangerous?
They just keep, it keeps rolling over like every 2 years. Like, you know, when we, if we win this time, we're going to be back there about another year and a half. You know? And the one thing about the parole board I'd like to see is a little reform, but they weigh the psych valve, they give it too much value. Because, you know, after you've collected enough psych valves, pretty soon you kind of know how to answer the questions.
No doubt.
And I think, you know, we're to the point with Kevin that, you know, really need help from your audience, because I think letters are going to keep them in. If we don't get enough letters, they're going to kick them out someday.
And he was a young guy. He was about 20 years old, wasn't he, back in 87? So here we are 30 years later. So he's now 50 years old. But, you know, from the pictures of him a couple of years ago at the parole hearing, he cleans up pretty well. He's got a squared away haircut. He's got a pair of glasses. He doesn't look like a lunatic necessarily. But you're saying that inside of that guy is the man who decided to simply take the life of your brother-in-law and kill him for maybe the amount of money you'd make in minimum wage on a full shift somewhere.
And, I can't think of any redeeming value he has on society. I really don't. And he's a good prisoner. I'll grant Kevin to this. Kevin is a good prisoner, so we should just let him stay there, where he functions really well in prison. Because when he gets on the outside, you know, what is he going to do? He'll get frustrated, have, you know, urges again or something. I think there's a time bomb waiting to happen.
And by the way, you want to get letters to these people. We've got an email address. All the information is at my website at LarsLarson.com. So if you want to send a letter and say, don't release this guy, keep him in custody, there are an awful lot of people, Dennis, who are very well behaved when they're behind bars and they know that there are corrections officers and there are real consequences if they step out of line. They get out of that kind of circumstance into the free world where they can do what they want and the circumstances are a lot less certain. You know, you can go out and break the rules and maybe you'll get caught, maybe you won't. That a lot of people behave very differently when they get in that kind of situation. Any final word for folks that you might inspire to write a letter to keep this guy in prison?
Yeah, I also forgot, like, about two or three hearings back. They kind of run together after a while. He was talking how they went to his fast food restaurant after they murdered Bobby because they got hungry. Murderers do that. And the supervisor there, he hated his supervisor. But that was going to be his next victim, but he got arrested before that.
Wow.
You know, was it Ted Bundy in the making? And society got lucky and caught him.
That's a very good point. Dennis, thanks a lot. If you'd like to write a letter to the parole board on behalf of that effort to keep Kevin Roper and his pal Scott Wickey behind bars, then you can do that, and you'd be helping out a family and probably helping out society. Hey, I want to mention a story, and this one just stunned me. I thought it was kind of interesting, that over the years I've heard all kinds of stories when the fine for doing something is of less consequence than the value of doing it. A good example of that would be, I'd talk to people in the construction industry, and I'd say, how would you get rid of all that construction debris? You know, the wood, plywood, concrete forms, things like that. And they said, well, we used to just burn it. And I said, well, how'd you get away with burning it? And they said, well, we didn't always get away with it, but having a load of this hauled away was, say, $300, $400, $500. If we burned it, even if we got the ticket was $200. So it was cheaper just to set fire to it and take the consequence. Consider this. There is the same kind of circumstance in the Seattle Metro. If you happen to live within the Sound Transit 3, boy, what a badly named light rail system, because it's not sound financially at all. But what they did was they got the voters to pass a ballot measure to fund this $54 billion boondoggle. And as a result, the car tabs, these are little stickers you put on your license plate in Washington State, and you have to buy them each and every year. Well, consider this. There are now people for whom the cost to buy the new license tab is more expensive than just paying the ticket for having expired tags on your car. Now, here's the way the fish wrapper tells it.
The higher tax, which is based on the car's value, applies to tabs that expired after March 1st. An owner of a 2012 Subaru Legacy with 58,000 miles on it would have to pay $308 per year just to register that car. According to data provided by the State Patrol, troopers made 119,000 stops for expired registration or tabs last year. Of those, they issued 10,000 tickets and 9,000 written warnings, which disappear from the driver's record if they prove renewal before a specific deadline. But here's the problem. If you get pulled over for expired car tabs, your ticket is only $136, or you can pay $308 to register your car properly. If it's a choice between $308 or paying the ticket of $136, which one do you think most people are going to do? Back in just a moment. Glad to get your phone calls and emails. We're live on the Radio Northwest Network. And this Thursday, live from the East Room of the White House, brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Find more at pfgwm.com. You're listening to the Radio Northwest Network and the Lars Larson Show.
Home to the Northwest's number one talk show host, Lars. This is FM News 101.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. How stupid does a system have to be when the fine for violating the law is less expensive than actually complying with the law? As I mentioned, these car tabs that all of us who live in Washington State, I have to license my cars in Washington State. So on Tina's car and my car, I have to buy new license tabs every year. And the license tabs, if you live within that Sound Transit 3 district, the one where they basically scammed the voters into agreeing to pay for a $54 billion light rail system, almost, $800 million a mile? It's the most hideously expensive thing you've ever seen. And they're going to have the car drivers pay for it through their license tabs. So in some cases, people with rather modest automobiles, like a 2012 Subaru Legacy, you know, it's a five-year-old car with 60,000 miles on it, has to pay $300 a year because they're in Sound Transit 3. The only problem is that it's apparently cheaper just to take the ticket if you get caught with expired tags, at least for the first couple of tickets, than it is to just go out and get it renewed. Let's go to John. Hey, John, the electrician, welcome back to the program. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Lars, in advance for allowing me more than 30 seconds to make a point, because, you know, I'm your consummate naysayer.
Well, you're okay, but the problem you have to remember is you got to engage in a conversation. So what's on your mind?
Oh, I do that all the time.
Then let's get to the point.
I just would like to, on this rusher thing, as Trump likes to call it.
Yeah.
This, and you know, Lars, you've been saying forever that it's a year and a half been charged, and it's interesting because a couple of weeks ago I came into a call a little late, but you were talking about a completely different gentleman who's calling saying he was frustrated that charges were not filed by a prosecutor, and you went into a rather eloquent, almost, I thought you were Josh Marquis for a second, a rather eloquent explanation. Prosecutor does not just file charges. The prosecutor gathers all of his information. This is a massive investigation that has threads that are running all through it, that he's going to get to the bottom of it. I agree with you, Lars, that Trump is not implicated in the latest, but this is a big deal.
Well, can you tell me this? He's not implicated in the Manafort stuff because Manafort committed these crimes, if he committed the crimes, a decade ago or so. And then he was Trump's campaign manager for 3 months, several years after the last of the allegations, 2013. So, okay, and you say, but he's going to get to the bottom of it. The bottom of what? What have we found at this point that indicates that Donald Trump colluded with the Russians to sway the election? Can you tell me any little scrap or scintilla of evidence that indicates that might be true?
Well, Lars, we really don't know yet. We aren't to the bottom of it. We are. This is, like I just said, this investigation is going down a lot of different roads. Now, the other gentleman that you did not mention, that is the little-known I think his name is Papadopoulos or something, he's already turned state's evidence, or I should say he's turned evidence to, with the, or turned he's going to testify or
that they were trying to dig dirt on Hillary, but every political campaign
immunity. No, that's not Hillary. That's with Trump. This is with Trump. You know, Papadopoulos.
I know about the Papadopoulos indictment, and I know that's a potential problem. But tell me, from your knowledge, what have you seen? When I watch Dianne Feinstein and other top Democrats who've been briefed on this because they're on congressional committees whose job it is to oversee, provide oversight, and you ask that, you see people like on CNN ask them, what do we have that shows a tie between Russia and Donald Trump? And they say, nothing. We haven't found anything.
Well, that was some time ago, actually.
It was a couple of months. It was a couple of months ago. But at this point, what have you seen, if anything? Because there has to be at least a thread to indicate some. In other words, even with a local crime.
Tell me what it is. Multiple threads. The things that are troubling, here's the things that are troubling. At every turn, Donald Trump has tried to, he can't criticize Putin. He's criticized him
plenty. He's taken issue with his actions in Ukraine. He's taken issues with his actions in Syria. We've actually, you know, to some extent, I know that the bombing of that Syrian airfield affected some Russian aircraft. So when you say he's not saying anything critical to the Russians, that's just not backed up by the facts.
I don't think we're following the same. You mentioned the word threat, and that's exactly what I was trying to say.
Well, I'm just saying that I don't see anything. There's no there. And here's my other question,
Lars,
John. Yeah, go ahead.
The meeting again. Meeting in June.
The one with Trump Jr.
Also, the fact that Kushner met with a Russian banker. We don't know what that's about.
I'll bet I do. I think I can tell you. Would you like to know what it's about? And this, I can take the mystery off of it. I'm willing to bet this is what it's about. I'm going to tell you fact. Fact. Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, owns a real estate company, and they bought a piece of property a number of years ago. His father and he did. And it's worth a lot. I mean, it's worth a lot of money, but they owe a lot of money on it. They owe about $1.2 billion on it. And they're trying to find investors to try and finish that project out, because otherwise, in 18 months, that $1.2 billion comes due. And he's either going to have to refinance it, or he's going to have to sell it, or he's going to have to redevelop it. But that's a real problem. And it's been written about extensively by The Atlantic and a number of others that have said he's got this real problem. It's like, well, we once had a mayor in Portland that had three mortgages and he couldn't keep current on any of them. His name was Sam Adams. He had real financial problems. And whether or not they're a political celebrity or not, you have to take care of paying your bills. So if he met with a banker, I have a feeling that's probably what it was about. But was it about trying to sway the election one direction or another? I don't see any indication of that. And I think the Russians want to mess with us every chance they get. I think they want to mess with us in favor of one candidate and against one candidate. But do I think that the Russians were conspiring to get Donald Trump elected when they had so much more in common with Hillary? I mean, after all, Hillary Clinton had already put 20% of America's uranium reserves in the hands of the Russians. She had already indicated that she was capable of being bribed, that if you paid her husband a few bucks for a speech, she'd do what she wanted to do. If you put some money in her foundation, she'd do what she wanted to do. Yeah, and her boss was just as bad. Barack Obama, tell Vladimir that I'll have more flexibility after the election. How much more flexible do you need to be? But you have to believe it's somebody else who's being compromised by the Russians. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Glad to get your phone calls and your emails at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk@larslarson.com. I just saw this little notice about Bo Bergdahl. Remember the Army deserter? Remember the creep that people went out and tried to find for weeks and weeks and weeks after he disappeared? And then he lived with the Taliban or the Al-Haqqani network for 5 years. And finally, Barack Obama traded five top-level terrorists to get his freedom. And we find out he's nothing more than a common deserter. Well, now he's issued an apology to those who were wounded while looking for him. This has been one of those unanswered questions for a long time. He gave an emotional statement at his own sentencing hearing. Well, no doubt, because he realizes he's going from being in captivity in the in Afghanistan to being in captivity here in his home country. And I hope he goes away for a good long time. That guy deserves to be locked up. And the fact that he says he's sorry now, how about being sorry when you're missing of your own accord? You walked away from your own base by your choice, and people went out to look for you, and they knew already that you were likely gone because you chose to be gone, and that they were putting their lives at risk because you chose to be an idiot, to walk off and hang out with the terrorists. And as a result, some people were killed, some people were horribly wounded, and now he's sorry. Well, gee, cry me a river. Of course you're sorry. You're about to go to jail. Jim Ludwig joins me with Oregonians for Immigration Reform. Hey, Jim, welcome back to the program. How are you?
Thank you, Lars. I appreciate it very much. A very poignant story about the Joshua and that elk hunt.
Well, you know, I thought it was the right thing for them to do, and I was sorry to hear that the man had passed away, but he managed to go quite a bit longer than his doc thought he was going to. You're out doing some important work for Oregonians right now by trying to change the sanctuary status of this state. How goes the effort?
Well, it goes well, Lars. As your listeners know, Oregon's a self-described sanctuary state that will not allow local or state police to work with Immigration and Customs, even to the point where if ICE asked to be notified if a county sheriff is going to release a criminal alien, that they won't do it. They cite this state statute. And we've filed an initiative, IP-22, and we're now out collecting signatures to overturn that, to get it on the November 2018 ballot. And it's available online now to sign a one-line signature sheet. And all your listeners have to do is to enter in stopOregonSanctuaries.org. stopOregonSanctuaries.org. I can't say the word.
.org, yeah.
And it'll bring up our website, and then you can click on that, and it'll bring it up to an online signature sheet where someone can print it out. It's only on one side, and sign it, date it, put whatever they do on a normal initiative, and mail it in. The address is even on it. And if they want to go out and collect signatures, they can fill out a form to get some 10-line signature sheets. And we're confident that we're going to get it on the ballot. And just like Measure 88, the driver card that we defeated in 2014,
yeah,
we think we'll win. I mean, just by the feedback we've gotten from people who signed the initiative right now.
How many total signatures do you need?
A little over 88,000.
How many do you have, do you think, right now?
Well, that's proprietary.
Okay, fair enough.
But you're working on it.
You want to get
right
there. You know how to get there, and you know the deadlines you've got to hit, right?
Oh, that's right, yeah. We've got until July 6th of next year to get the signatures.
And does it go on in the fall then?
Yes, it would go on in the fall.
Well, then this is hugely important, because imagine the kind of scene you set for people who are running for re-election when you have that kind of ballot measure on, and voters and reporters, if they want to, can ask office seekers, where do you stand on this thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Lars, we saw recently the news article about Multnomah County Sheriff Mike Reese, who had received a request from ICE to let them know when he was going to release a criminal alien, Sergio Martinez, and the sheriff refused to do it, citing this state statute. Well, Martinez apparently went out and raped and sexually abused another woman. That's the kind of outcomes we get in being a sanctuary city. And you're also, I'm sure, well aware of the judge, Monica Herantz, Multnomah County judge.
Oh, do you know, Jim, I filed a complaint against her. What Jim's talking about is a judge who decided to warn an illegal alien who had been in her courtroom, and she knew he was illegally in the country, and she also had come to find out that there were ICE agents standing in the hallway of the courthouse ready to grab him. Now, you'd think if a judge was the proper kind of judge, the judge would say, I'm in favor of the law. if I know that I've got a lawbreaker who's currently breaking a law and is wanted by any level of agency, whether it's the FBI or the sheriff's department or the police department or the state police or the police from one state or another state, you'd think that judge would say, well, it's my job to make sure that person gets caught. Instead, she took it upon herself to help him avoid the ICE officers out in the hallway. And I filed a complaint against her after she did it. And the Judicial Fitness Board decided there was nothing wrong with a sitting judge helping a criminal avoid the law.
Well, I filed a complaint as well and got the same reports back that you did. But, Lars, think of this environment. Where is the safest place for a law enforcement officer to make an arrest?
At the courthouse.
Is it a controlled environment like the courthouse where the so-called perpetrator had been searched for a gun or knife, or out in some back alley or on the street? I guarantee you this. If Monica Herantz's husband was an ICE agent, or a son was an ICE agent, or daughter was an ICE agent, she would like that arrest to take place in the courthouse, not in some sleazy corner.
No, and you're right, because most, unless you've managed to get past security at a courthouse, that courthouse is as knife-free and gun-free as it can be. So when law enforcement tries to take a suspect into custody in that kind of circumstance, where they know that the person has passed through a metal detector, the suspect is less likely to get killed, and officers are less likely to get killed. So it works out well for both sides. And instead, the judge has apparently decided, no, I'm going to help this guy get away. And then, as you say, they may have to catch up with him in an alley. And in the alley, he might have a knife and a gun, and he might decide that he doesn't want to be taken into custody and hauled out of the country.
Well, Lars, that's common sense. And the fact that Multnomah County, which is the, you know, the epicenter of this sanctuary policies, would allow a judge to let an illegal alien criminal get out of the courthouse is just terrible. It's hard to imagine any other circumstance where a judge, or in this case the sheriff Mike Reese, would ever allow a criminal to go beyond the reach of the federal authorities.
By the way, Jim, I have an opportunity coming up this week. You might have heard me mention it, that we're going to be broadcasting live from the East Room of the White House, and that it's going to be brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Find out more at pfgwm.com. But the White House contacted us last week and said, we can't tell you everyone that you will be able to talk to, but we can tell you that you're likely to talk to some cabinet secretaries, and that we haven't had this kind of situation before, where a live broadcast has been allowed from inside the White House of a talk radio show. And we know for a fact, I know for a fact, it didn't happen during the Obama years for some pretty obvious reasons, because we might have been a little critical of him. But we're going to be doing that on Thursday. And depending on who I get to talk to, if it's appropriate, I'll be talking to a number of people. You know, we can't say exactly who we're going to get on Thursday, but I think we're likely to get some significant figures who might even work in the White House. And we'll be able to talk to them, and I can ask them some of these questions about why sanctuary cities are still going largely unpunished for their aiding and abetting of criminal activity.
Well, I'll be listening with bated breath, of course, when you're back there. What I'm encouraging people to do is to go online, go to StopOregonSanctuaries.org, and either print out a one-line signature sheet or send in a request for a 10-line signature sheet, the old traditional ones, and go out and collect some signatures, and all the information is there on how to handle that.
Sounds very good. Jim, thanks for the work you do at Oregonians for Immigration Reform. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome to Monday. If you want to jump into the best conversation in talk journalism, it's 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Honestly provocative talk radio for the Pacific Northwest on the Radio Northwest Network and the Lars Larson Show.
First-time callers and naysayers always go first. This is the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Glad to get a phone call or an email at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk@larslarson.com. What is this? A letter. This is great, because Shama Sawant from the Seattle City Council is such a socialist, and she is a socialist. I'm not calling names. That's what she calls herself. But Seattle firefighters, according to King 5 News, are speaking out against a budget proposal that would end the cleanups of unauthorized homeless camps in the city. In a letter to Councilmember Shama Sawan, Seattle Firefighters Union President Kenny Stewart says needle sticks, exposure to biohazard and contaminants, and assault are serious issues that our firefighters face at these unauthorized encampments every day. Stewart says the proposal to restrict the city from appropriately addressing the unauthorized encampments on public land creates a substantial hazard for firefighters and, in our opinion, would lead to greater medical and fire emergencies for our most vulnerable residents. Sawant included a proviso in the city budget that would halt the camp cleanups until the city can guarantee the human rights of unauthorized encampment inhabitants. Well, doesn't that sound special? So far, there's no serious challenge to her plan, and the Fire Bureau says that it is going to put their firefighters at greater risk. To your calls now at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk at LarsLarson.com. Let's go first to RJ in Medford, listening on KMED. Hey, RJ, welcome to the Lars Larson Show.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. What's up?
Well, I'm making a statement. I am a Marine.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. It was my duty and my pleasure. Anyway, I have a very serious comment about Bo Bergdahl.
Yeah.
I don't think he should just go away. He should be executed for desertion. They haven't done that since World War II.
And don't they have to do it on the battlefield? If you're going to execute somebody for desertion, isn't that a battlefield? No?
That's not what we were taught in the Marine Corps. If you desert, you can be executed.
Well, in this case, it sounds like he may not even end up with that much prison time, sad to say.
Right. I'm agreeing on that. And I'm really incensed about Obama trading key-level Al-Qaeda, what the heck ever they were, for him. That was so wrong. It's just...
I agree with you, but does it affect your vote today? I mean, in other words, when you go to vote next fall, will it affect your vote and decide whether or not you're going to vote for Democrat members of Congress or the legislature? Because those are the people who push those kinds of situations. It was President Obama who made that bad decision to make that trade.
Yes, it is. You're
good.
Correct.
Does it affect 100%. Your vote? Good.
I am an independent, so I will vote. Voting when it comes up, I will vote for Trump 100%.
How about for members of Congress? Have you voted for Republicans or Democrats or both?
Mostly Republicans. I'm not a Republican myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't claim that. I claim independent, but I vote Republican. I don't believe in pretty much nothing that the Democratic Party is doing. That's just plain and simple. They're as far as I'm concerned, tree-hugging, bleeding-heart liberals, and don't have no place for them.
I don't either. Hey, by the way, RJ, while you were talking to me, I looked this up because I wanted to refresh my memory. Under the military code, the maximum penalty for desertion during a declared war is death. Do you know we haven't had a declared war? But you can't do it after the fact. By the way, the sentence was carried out one time since the Civil War, and it was Private Eddie Slovak, who went before a firing squad in World War II. The next highest punishment that's been given out is 5 years in prison. So do you want to bet that Bo Bergdahl is likely to not see much of anything in the way of punishment?
Oh, well, the way the justice system is now, you get sentenced even 5 years, you might do a year and a half.
That's true. Hey, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. By the way, our Twitter poll today, should Governor Kate Brown kill a $50 million bottled water plant
I think it's a terrible idea. Brought to you by Dan Jones Conveyor Trucks. You can find the question on Twitter at Lars Larson Show. And, of course, on our website at LarsLarson.com. Tom, you're a naysayer on Manafort. And I'm wondering, since we're really hard up against the clock right now, do you mind sticking around for a few minutes?
Not at all.
Okay, because I want to hear your objection on Manafort. If Manafort's a guy who's broken the law, I'm in favor of him being punished, too. But I'm not sure that they're going after him because of what he did or because it's an avenue to get to Donald Trump. And that's what I'm going to ask you about on the other side. If you want to join the best conversation in talk journalism, it's right here. It's the Lars Larson Show. And this week's broadcast from the East Room of the White House, coming up this Thursday, brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Find out more at PFGWM.
Quiet, please.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You ready for the big show?
In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
All of this could have been avoided if we'd followed my plan.
Broadcasting from Portland to Seattle and all of Oregon and Washington.
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.
This is Honestly Provocative Talk with Lars Larson.
Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer?
Now, here's Lars Larson.
Be sure and keep that volume up.
On FM News 101.
It's going to be one of the highest rated shows ever.
KXL.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. I don't often hold a naysayer through, but I wanted to see what Tom had to say about Paul Manafort, who is the man of the hour. Today, the indictment that we all heard about over this last weekend came down and was revealed to the public that Paul Manafort, who spent three whole months as the campaign manager for Donald Trump last summer, he has now been indicted. And I know that people are saying, so he got indicted for that Russia Trump stuff. No, he got indicted for some stuff that goes back 10 years to 2007. And some of it only goes back 5 years to 2013. But he was indicted for things like not registering as a representative or an advocate for a foreign government, taking money and trying to funnel it through phony bank accounts, allegedly to launder it so he didn't have to pay taxes on it. But none of it. Not one bit of it linked to Donald Trump or Russia or the presidential campaign. And so when Tom called in and told my producers that he's a naysayer on that subject, I thought I will be fascinated to hear what Tom has to say about what this means about the whole investigation of Donald Trump, Russia, and the 2016 election. Tom, have at it. What's on your mind?
Well, you're making it sound like because it happened so long ago, we shouldn't be bothering Paul Manafort with.
Did I say that? No, don't invent. Hold on, don't invent words. If he's a bad guy and he's broken the law, he should be held to account of the law. But let's be clear. I want to hear from you, since you're a naysayer. Can we agree? None of what Manafort is accused of today has anything to do with the 2016 election, the Russians, or Donald Trump.
You don't know that.
Well, hold on. I know what he's been accused of. The accusations are for events that happened between 2007 and 2013. Donald Trump didn't even jump into the presidential election till 2015, 2 years later, and he didn't win till 2016, 3 years later. So how could Paul Manafort's tax evasion or other bad deeds, if he truly did them, and he has a right to his day in court, but how could his misdeeds in 2013 have anything to do with whether Donald Trump colluded with the Russians to win the 2016 election?
First of all, you don't have any evidence to the contrary.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. If the indictment concerns acts that happened before 2015 when Donald Trump got into the race, how does an act that happened in 2013 or 2012 or 2009, how does that have anything to do with an election that happened 5 or 6 years later?
You don't know if there's additional charges coming. They may not be done with this guy.
Okay.
So there could be more charges.
Martians could land tomorrow and tell us that they have the Evans. But tell me what you see in it.
You're dealing with it. You're assuming and you're making assumptions that there's no connection to Donald Trump.
you're hoping and praying there's no connection to Donald
given,
Trump.
I don't have to hope and pray. If Paul Manafort didn't go to work for Donald Trump till the summer of 2016, but he allegedly, according to these indictments today, did his bad act between 2007 and 2013, I'd say that didn't have anything to do with Trump.
So what? Donald Trump and Paul Manafort's relationship goes back farther than 3 months into the campaign.
That's fine.
They know each other. So,
and?
You know what?
Instead of faulting what I don't know, why don't you tell me what you see in this that is an indictment of the current president?
I tell you where they're going with this, and I told you this on the phone several months ago, and that is they're looking for money laundering for Donald Trump. He's been taking Russian money for the last 30 years because he couldn't get any credit from the banks after his several bankruptcies. So he started doing business with black market money through the Russians.
How do you know this, by the way?
Hold on.
Tom, I'm happy. If you know this, I'm glad to. But how do you know that?
I don't. I just told you what I think. Okay. You're telling me what you think.
Well, I think I have $1 million in the bank. Do I? If I think hard enough about it, do I have it?
Do you have confidence?
I think I'm 6.5 feet tall and as good looking as, I don't know, Ryan Gosling. Huh?
Do you have proof that Donald Trump is innocent of all these insinuations?
Oh, is that the new standard that you're guilty till proved innocent? I thought we had a different standard in America.
Yeah, you do it to the Democrats all the time.
No, I do it when I can cite evidence.
Hillary Clinton sold the Russians uranium.
Well, she did.
10 years ago, but now all of a sudden we're going to...
But Tom, Tom.
From the highest tree.
Hey, Tom, tell me this.
You guys weren't upset about it then.
Tom, did the Russians, through Uranium One, end up owning 20% of our uranium? Yes or no?
I don't know that.
I can show you 50 stories about it, and they're not from right-wing websites.
Why isn't Hillary Clinton in jail because of it from 7 years ago? This is a seven-year-old.
Why isn't she?
Story.
I can tell you why she isn't. Would you like to know why she's not in jail? Here's why she's not in jail. Because Robert Mueller was running. Hold on. Robert Mueller was running the FBI, and Eric Holder was running the DOJ, and Barack Obama was the occupant of the White House. That's why she's not in jail.
Okay, who's in power right now? How come they're not filing charges?
I'm hoping it's going to happen here real soon. I'm hoping that Jeff
said. I thought you hope and pray it.
Well, no, you hope in one hand and spit in the other one and see which one fills up fastest. That's how it works.
So you know what? She's been on trial for the last 25 years, and you guys haven't got anything to stick on her.
She's truly very Teflon. Tom, I appreciate your confidence in the Democrat Party. Thank you for the call. 866, hey, Lars. That's 866-439-5277. Let's go to Ann. Hey, Ann, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Lars. Well, lots on my mind. I'm really thrilled for you to go to the White House.
That's going to be fun. We're going to go to the White House this Thursday for a live broadcast in the East Room of the White House on Thursday afternoon. And it's brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Find out more at pfgwm.com. We're going to do that, and it's going to be, I think, very interesting. We might get to talk to some very interesting people that day.
Well, you might want to take the Oregon Voter's Manual with you.
Why is that?
Because I'm looking here on how you're valid to get registered to vote here. You can have if you don't have a driver's license, suspend a driver's license or valid Oregon ID or a social security number, you still have acceptable identification. Valid photo ID, pay stub, utility bill, bank statement, a government document.
Okay, but I don't want you to read the whole list for us. Tell me where you're headed with this.
But the idea is that you only need one of these.
Yeah.
In order to register to vote. Then you have to lie. But I wonder how many people are lying and saying, well, yeah, I'm a citizen. Sign their name. And how much they really check up on this?
I wish I could find out. And there's almost no way to find it out unless people are willing to confess that they're guilty of committing a crime. Because otherwise, how do you get somebody to admit that they went down and fooled the system and got registered to vote even though they're not entitled to be registered to vote?
Yeah, in my case, I think it's a very loose system, and I'll be real happy if they make a a more strict requirement for identification.
So would I, Ann, but a lot of people get angry when they go to the DMV and the DMV says, prove that you're legally in the country or you can't have a driver's license, although I'm totally in favor of it. Let's go to Chuck in Lebanon. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Lars, this is the first time I ever called you. I'm glad you got on so quick.
Thank you.
And I wanted to talk to you about two things, if you have time.
Sure, go for it.
First one, I'm not a naysayer, but I do disagree with you on a few things now and then.
Okay, let's get to it.
The first one is the JFK thing that's going on. I heard, and I heard it on InfoWars, but I heard that they have the file from the CIA that clearly states there was a shooter in the front. What do you think about that?
I don't think that's true, but okay.
That's what Alex Jones, who I'm not saying that.
Hold on a second. You know what,
okay,
Chuck?
I'm not getting
Chuck,
him.
Did you talk to my producers? Chuck is going to get cut off because Chuck was deliberately told by my producers that we don't do that. So, Chuck, we don't do that on this show. And if you do it again, your phone number will be banned. Sorry to say that, but we got to be tough on people or they get us in trouble. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show.
Right now on FM News 101.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Glad to be with you and glad to take your phone calls and emails. I got to tell you this story. I am reasonably sure that I would hate this guy's political point of view, but I have offered him the chance to come on the show. Does that show how ecumenical I can be, how diversity-minded I can be? There is a guy by the name of Spencer Raymond. Now, until recently, he has worked for the government-supported media. Now, in the old Soviet Union, government media was TASS or Pravda. I forget what it is in China. But there's usually, in totalitarian regimes, there's usually a government-supported media. This guy has worked for OPB, Oregon Public Broadcasting. His name is Spencer Raymond. But it sounds like he's the kind of guy who wants to be in politics more. So he's announced that he is running for an open city council seat. But now he is being white shamed. Now, you've heard of fat shaming before and blame shaming and things like that. This guy has white skin. And apparently that only matters to the people who don't like the idea that he's going to run for office because they say he has entered a race that already includes three women of color. Now, we've actually had one of those women on the program, Joanne Hardesty, who I've known forever. She's the former or head of the NAACP and a former state representative. She entered the race. There's also Loretta Smith, who's a Multnomah County Commissioner, and she's entered the race. And then there's somebody who works for the mayor and a member of the school board. And they're saying with three women of color in that race, how dare this white kid run for office? And I thought we lived in a country where you could run for office and it didn't matter what gender you were and it didn't matter what color your skin was. But literally some of the people have been trying to shame Spencer Raymond out of running, have gone online with Twitter remarks like, if I were a white dude running for office, which would it look worse to run against? And then they offer two options, guy with stomach cancer, which is clearly a reference to City Commissioner Nick Fish, or three women of color. Apparently, this guy who has an outside business interest, he owns a tap room and bottle shop, he has worked in broadcast, and he now wants to run for office, and they're trying to shame him and suggest he should not run for office because he has white skin, and that would somehow be wrong when he has to run against three women of color. Well, I have a feeling they know that the three women of color are likely to split the minority vote in that case, and they're worried that he's going to win. But shouldn't you be able to run for office in America if you have white skin? You know, and if the person who's a person of color wins, well, more power to him. Let's go to Wesley. Hey, Wesley, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Lars, it's Leslie with an L, but that's okay.
Leslie, thank you.
Okay, three callers ago, you had this guy calling about Manafort, and part of the problem with the other party is that it all comes down to because I think, therefore it's true. And there's no more, as you stated, innocent until you're proven guilty. It's all now conjecture, and unless you have proof that what I think isn't true, It must be true.
Well, so, and that's that was the point I was trying to make to him, is that he says, well, Lars, you don't have any evidence. And I said, well, if Paul Manafort's accused of crimes that range from 2007 to 2013, and you're worried about how that affects Donald Trump, who he went to work for 3 years after the last of these indictments covers, I think that's pretty good evidence that what he was doing was not connected to the Trump campaign. In fact, it came years before Donald Trump even made the decision to run for office.
And I think that's where morals, ethics, and common sense come into play, that one party has more of than the other. My second point was, two callers ago, the lady who was talking about what you have to do to prove to vote. I live in Washington State, have a CDL, and was told last summer I had to show a birth certificate in order for to use my CDL out of state. And I was also told by DMV that I couldn't fly into a state that didn't recognize my license as a U.S. citizen. So I had to go down, show my birth certificate, and get the Washington State enhanced license now.
Yeah.
My problem with this is that I have to prove I'm an American citizen to fly out of the state of Washington, but I don't have to prove I'm an American citizen in order to vote. And that's sad where our country's gone to now.
I agree with you. And I've expressed that frustration plenty of times. I'd like to know, when do we start applying one standard to everyone? Insist that everybody has to show that they're legally in the country to be able to get a driver's license, that they are a citizen to be able to vote, and apply one standard to the whole population and not this multiple standard nonsense. Leslie, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Laura in Kennewick. Hey, Laura, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Lars. Thank you for taking my call. It's the first time I've called you, but you're becoming my favorite talk show host. I tell you, I really like you a lot.
Well, thank you.
Hey, I got a couple of things I want to throw at you. I haven't heard a lot of it really being discussed since all this Hillary stuff really came to the forefront this week. What do you think about Vlad Putin's part in this cover-up?
Where do you think he fits in
this conspiracy with this Russian uranium deal with Hillary?
I don't think he had to cover it up. Because I think the U.S. government, I think here's what happened. Because the gentleman who was on before said, you don't have any proof. Well, I know for a fact Uranium One was sold to the Russians. I know that Uranium One owns 20% of America's uranium reserves. I know that. You can look up stories about it in major media that have reported this happened. We know that to do the deal, they had to have Hillary Clinton sign off as Secretary of State, and by extension, her boss, Barack Obama, sign off as well, to make that deal happen, because U.S. law requires that things that affect U.S. energy security have to be signed off on by the government. So, but what's happened is the Democrats have covered it up because they're protecting not Vladimir Putin, but Hillary Clinton.
Well, yeah, but, why do you think it was that, remember during the campaign how he was acting? I mean, they showed a lot of him, let's face it, during the campaign. And he was acting, at least what appeared to me, like he wanted Hillary to lose. He didn't like Hillary, and he wanted Donald to win. Do you think that was just pretend, that he was really deep down, acting that way to kind of maybe
I think he would have been much better off with Hillary Clinton in office, shutting down every oil well in the world. You've got the Lars Larson Show.
More with Lars right now on FM News 101.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Glad to be with you and glad to take your phone calls and your emails. And just to answer a couple of questions I've been getting today by email. Number one, no, I didn't get my bull elk this weekend. I had the tag. I had the rifle. I had the willingness. I had the desire. I just didn't get the shot. And there you go. I mean, it happens to all of us. But my buddy Ned did get one. He's a pilot up in the Seattle area. And he got his spike. And he did very, very well. And I don't know if Roger, I had to leave on Sunday. I don't know if Roger got his or not, but I'd be anxious to find out. And I should mention to you a little travel note for the show. We're going to be broadcasting live from the East Room of the White House this coming Thursday.
We're going to go back. We're going to talk about a bunch of different subjects, but I have never broadcast from inside the White House before. Believe it or not, the last time we were there was more than 8 years ago. It was during the Bush administration. The Obama administration never seemed to want to have anything to do with conservative talk radio. I don't know why, but he didn't. And back during Bush, we did the broadcast. We had done it from the Pentagon. We'd done it from other places in Washington, D.C., and we'd done it from the driveway in front of the White House in either January or February. It was cold. We were in tents, though, and that was interesting. But this time, we'll get access to a number of cabinet secretaries and who knows who else we might get a chance to talk to while we're doing, as far as I can tell, the first Radio Row broadcast. From the East Room of the White House, brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Find out more at pfgwm.com. To your calls now, let's go to Tim in Vancouver. Hey, Tim, welcome to the program. Oh, and if you want to jump in, it's 866-A-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Tim, what's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Lars.
You bet.
Yeah, the previous caller, before you had to cut him off because he was being a jerk. But you made it seem like that you believe the single gun theory with JFK. Is that right?
I haven't even talked about the single gun theory today.
Well, he said that he had proof that JFK was shot from the front, and you said something to the contrary, and then you had to cut him off because he brought up other radio personalities to think his way.
No, it's just, do you understand that we're on a network here in the Northwest, just so everybody understands, it creates problems. It would be, if I walked into the local Ford dealership and shout Chevy or start telling people about the wonders of Chevy, that doesn't work. And for a lot of my affiliates, correct, it doesn't work. So we ask people politely, and frankly, once we've asked callers politely to follow the rules, if they don't want to follow the rules, they get dumped. And if they do it twice, then their number is up and we don't take their number anymore. And that's the way it works. He apparently thought, oh, I'll just lie to Lars's producers, break the rules, get on and do whatever the heck I want to do. Well, that's not how it works. And it's all about trying to take care of good care of our affiliates. But as far as do I believe that Lee Harvey Oswald was the man who murdered JFK, assassinated JFK? Yes, I do.
Okay.
And well,
I'm gonna say two things. I'm an avid hunter like you are.
Yeah.
And we both know firearms. And there's two things that I don't think can be disputed. One is if you're the lone gunman.
Yeah.
Okay. You would take the shot, the easiest shot, when he's coming around the corner at the school.
Or you might lose your nerve. You know, you might get buck fever.
If you're a shooter, you're going to take the easy shot. You're not going to take the one that's going away from you down the hill through the tree.
Okay.
You're not going to do that.
All right.
And the second, my second thing is, you know, you've harvested animals before and stuff, and when the film doesn't lie, you know, his head went back into the web, and that obviously indicates a shot from the front.
You know what, Tim? Here's the thing. You and I are discussing on the radio the physics of where a bullet went and whether or not it was one or two. The Warren Commission spent a long time on this, and conspiracy buffs have spent essentially the last 60 years trying to figure out a definitive answer to this. And I doubt you and I are going to come up with a definitive answer in the next 3 minutes. I just don't see it happening.
Right.
So, you know, that's why when people, I mean, look, I've laid out plenty of conspiracy theories. There was a guy who emailed me over the weekend as I got back into email range, you know, because I'd been out of internet and everything else for a while. And he said, I know that you believe that Richard McCoy was D.B. Cooper. And I wrote back and I said, yeah, I believe he was. And why do I believe that? Because of all the different data that points toward it. But in the case of Kennedy, I go with Occam's razor, least hypothesis. Did they catch Oswald? Yes. Do you think he might have had a motivation? Yeah. Was he identified as the shooter? Yeah. Do I think that he was the only shooter? Well, they didn't catch another shooter. So after 50, 60 years, yeah, I think he was the only shooter. But, you know,
all right.
I mean, and let's say we find out there was a second shooter. What do you think it's going to show? Is it going to show a conspiracy by our government to murder the president, the sitting president? Is it going to show that LBJ had him killed, or that the Cubans had him killed, or that the Russians had him killed?
Or what do you think? Where do you think that's going to go?
I don't know if that'll ever be solved, you know?
So in other words, it's all just academics anyway, right?
Well, I mean, yeah. To actually prove who did it, I think is after this amount of years, I think is almost impossible. But
I agree.
You know, just to prove that there was more than one gunman, I don't think is hard. Nobody's ever going to know the answer. That's going to be the $64,000 question for the next our lifetimes.
Well, except for a lot of people, they look at what's been examined already. And as you say, an awful lot of the people who were there at the time are dead. They're gone. A lot of the techniques that we have today that might have given a better answer, lasers and computer projections and everything else, they didn't have them. And the kind of measurements that were made at the time wouldn't lend themselves to trying to recreate that today. And I know people are never going to get tired of talking about various conspiracy theories around the Kennedy assassination. But do I think you ever get a definitive answer for it? Probably not. I don't even expect ever to get a definitive answer on D.B. Cooper, except that I think that all the evidence shows that it was Richard McCoy and the FBI had him and the FBI screwed up. And gee, that's a whole lot more believable today, isn't it, than it was before Comey and Mueller came along.
I agree with you on that one, you know, but I would one thing to say last, back in the 70s, they took the top three shooters from the NRA from I'm not speaking hey, right,
but anyway, get to the point.
Took the top three shooters in the United States and tried to recreate that shot that he did, and they couldn't do it. And that was the top three shooters, you know. And it they finally did it, but it took them a while. It wasn't just a one shot. Well, so
I don't know. Maybe there was a magic bullet. Even the Warren Commission report talked about a magic bullet that might have been there. Kind of sad, but there you go. 866, hey, Lars. That's 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk@LarsLarson.com. Let's see. Ryan writes in, Lars, you keep teasing this special guest on the broadcast from the White House. I'm so freaking jealous. I want a full, candid report. Will you get to say hi to the president? He meant our savior. And although that's pretty good, he is saving us from all the destruction that, I don't know, can't say at this point. And, you know, sometimes you get invited to places and they say, you got an invitation, but you can't say who you might get a chance to talk to there. But we'll be in the East Room. It's not too far from certain people's offices. It could happen. And I'm not being coy because I want to be coy. I'd rather tell you. But I also know how to follow the rules, which some callers know how to do, and some do not. And I'll be back in just a moment. 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk@LarsLarson.com.
The Lars Larson Show, where government is on the grill daily. Lars on FM News 101.
Oh, welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. I love this email from Doug, who heard that little scratch of a conversation about the JFK assassination. Lars, I'm with you. I think Oswald just got unfortunately lucky, in quote marks, as he unloaded on the motorcade. The body movements physics do bother me a bit, as I've shot big game animals, and they often make a spastic-type movement when they're struck by the round. Keep on trumping, signed Doug. See, I wrote back to Doug. I said, just like, you know, if you think about all the situations where an assassination has happened and things came together well for the assassin, if you want to look at it as well, that he did what he was setting out to do. Have you ever read the history of the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand that set off World War I? His assassination team, and they had a big team, and they got unlucky every stretch of the way. You know, things went wrong for them, you know, wrong in the sense that they were setting out to assassinate Ferdinand, and they screwed up left and right. And then finally, one of them was dejected and he was walking off the course of the motorcade and the Archduke's car pulls up right next to him. And things happen like that. In real life, things happen like that. And unfortunately, in that case, because you don't want to see heads of state assassinated. Let's go to Brian and Eugene. Hey, Brian, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon. It's about the assassination. My aunt, I'm from Dallas. I'm born and raised in Dallas, and my aunt was there, not there at the, on Elm Street, but she said she told me that she knew a police officer that was there, and he told her that there were several organizations involved in the assassination. Nobody knows which bullet hit him, but there was even police. There was even a shooter in the grate, in the drainage grate on Elm Street, shooting upwards when the car went over.
And did your aunt's friend, the cop, ever share that theory or that information with the rest of the police force?
I have no clue.
Yeah, obviously he didn't, because if he had shared it, they'd have gone a whole different direction. Let's go to V, who's calling in from Milwaukee. Hey, V, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, it's V, not V. But anyway,
hold on. Is it V like Victor? Hold on, V. Is it V like Victor?
No, it's D like in dog.
D. Okay, go ahead, D.
Okay. Well, I've never been interested in politics, but since Trump got into it, everything has become interesting. There's this organization called Organizing for Action.
Oh, fuck.
Grassroots organization, and their purpose is to make a change. Well, the change they want to make is to fight everything that Trump tries to do.
Yep.
And to promote Obama's agenda.
And we've talked about it on the show. What would you like to say about it?
Well, I would just like to just wondered about your thoughts on it. I just think it's so rotten for Obama to make everything difficult for our current president.
Well, I agree with you, but there's nothing you can do to stop him. And because, first of all, as a private citizen, he can do and say pretty much anything he wants as long as he doesn't threaten somebody's life. And I wouldn't ever want to see that right taken away from any citizen, even though I'll disagree with people like Obama. Do I think it would be classier for him to keep his mouth shut and stick to his own business now that he's no longer president? That's what former presidents have done for a long time. Until, of course, you notice George W. Bush, who stayed, and I used to admire him a lot more, but he stayed silent during all of Obama's presidency. And now during Trump, he's out blasting Trump in some pretty nasty ways. And why did he do that? They would tell you that they're doing it because they think it's important for the country. So how would you stop something like that?
Boy, I wish I knew. Everybody's trying to make it difficult for Trump. He's really got a hard job.
That's true. He does. But he took on the job, and I don't think he's shrinking from what he knows is a hard job. Thanks for the call, by the way. Let's go to Greg in the Tri-Cities listening on KONA. Hey, Greg, welcome to the Lars Larson Show.
Good afternoon, Lars. I'm calling about illegal aliens taking the rights that are reserved for legal American citizens, like voting. And here in the state of Washington, it is legal for an illegal alien to get a concealed carry permit.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Go talk to any gun store.
Well, except the gun stores don't issue the permits. The sheriff's department.
No, they don't. No, that's right. I was told not to mention any business names, but several gun stores will confirm it here in Washington. An illegal alien can get a concealed carry permit.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that, but you may be right. And the way to fix that is change the law, right?
That's right. Change the law here in Washington, Oregon, and California. Good luck.
Well, actually...
I'm sorry I say it.
No, I don't be sorry about saying it, but... But that's it. So, you know, I wish we could change it. I think it's a privilege of people who are in this country legally and who are actually, you know, when you buy a pistol, when you buy any kind of firearm, you have to fill out that 4473. They ask you if you are an illegal, in the United States. So why in the world would the state of Washington give out carry permits to people who aren't even legally in the country?
I have no idea, but two different stores have confirmed it. And they're well-known. They're just not little mom-and-pop operations.
Well, hold on a second. I just looked up the requirements, and I think your gun stores are wrong. What are the requirements? And this is from USA Carry, which is one I trust because they have a good list. It says, in Washington State, you have to be a U.S. citizen or a permanent resident alien with a permanent resident card or green card.
Mm-hmm.
So it appears. Well, and you're telling me that I should believe not that, but the local gun store that's saying no, illegal aliens can get them. When the sheriff's department tells me that an illegal alien can get a carry permit, I'll believe it.
Well, I didn't believe it either. But like I said, two well-known.
I'll tell you what. I will check with the sheriff's department to see if I can find a definitive answer. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show.